The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand and don't have to hide.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Maybe that intro music threw you off, as that was not Billy Joel, but that was Rick Derringer. And that was the Hulk Hogan entrance song. And that was a song that basically, if you heard that and you were a kid in the 80s or 90s, let's just say probably most likely if you're a boy in the 80s or 90s and you heard that, all of a sudden you want to go out and try and lift the back end of a truck or jump a speeding car. And now at 48 years old, I hear that and I think, oh my gosh, I got to take a pill or I have to take some ibuprofen, because I got to tell you, losing Hulk Hogan was one of those. I mean, there obviously Ozzy Osbourne passed this last week. So did Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show, which I never really watched a lot of. But losing Hogan was really different. I remember when I was in the military and Michael Jackson passed away, that seemed like really weird to me. Like, not that I struggled with it, but it was losing somebody that you felt close to, who of course you never knew, because so many moments of Michael Jackson's songs played such a huge role in my life. But the Hulk Hogan one, that was really tough. I mean, he was flawed, but I'm never going to focus on the indiscretions people have made here and there. It's like, what did he do? And he lifted a whole industry, sports entertainment, to where it still is today. I mean, I can remember watching him body slam Andre the Giant, watching on pay-per-view. I could never afford buying the pay-per-view, but a person down the street always bought them, and I always watched them. So God bless Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea. And, you know, the other thing, too, is it really formed who my idols were as a kid. And as a kid, I always said I wanted the strength of my dad, the height of my Uncle Bud, and the brains of my grandfather, Grandfather Fred. And then really what it came down to as I got older, I realized the one thing I really wanted more than anything, and I had, was the work ethic of my mom. So, Mom, if you're listening, thank you, because I think I owe a great deal of who I am and how I approach things to you. So thank you. With me today is, and I wouldn't look at her while she's standing or sitting here, because I knew she'd be like, her eyes would be getting big and she'd be giving me the let's wrap it up and get moving, is my wife, Sarah. So she's back. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right. So this morning we have a few different things that I want to hit on, but I had a lot of different people reach out and say that having you on was, and we've talked about this, was one of the best shows I had. Not sure why. No, I'm just kidding. But the so I just said let's bring it back on. I do have one thing I want to hit on before we kind of just talk. And one of the things with Sarah and I is we usually have, I mean, she's my best friend. We've been married almost 26 years. We have fantastic walks. Most of the big decisions I'd say we've made in our life have been on walks, right?
Yeah, I think we have the best talks when we're walking.
Yeah, like when we decided, like when we were living in Oregon and said we weren't going to have, we decided to come down to Shasta County, walk the river trail, and we decided at that moment we weren't going to have three kids. We weren't three-kid people. I was going to get fixed. And we went back to Oregon because we couldn't walk up there because it was 7 feet of snow all the time.
It was cold, but
There was snow, and it felt like 7 feet. I don't know how many times I slipped on the porch, trying to run out to the car or the truck. But the reality was you were like 2 or 3 weeks pregnant.
Yeah. So God was laughing when we said that.
Yeah. So you wound up being pregnant while we were having that conversation. So he knew better. So I do want to touch on really quick last week's meeting. I've received some emails, and just not emails of or text messages or phone calls about that it was bad. They just wanted to understand it. And so we had a person come up that had a $90,000 fine on a property. And there was a lot of board discussion. And one of the things, you know, he had, I think the individual had close to a $20,000 bill that the county spent of hard capital, hard cash, cleaning it up. So he had to pay that. But the fine, there was this a lot of ambiguity around what we could do, what our jurisdiction was, what seemed right. No supervisor, not one of us, of the five of us, felt a $90,000 fine was right. And what I said is, let's come up with a formula. There has to be a formula, because if we're going to reduce it, like, what does that look like? And of course, that's not how that works. But it was interesting having people want to pin supervisors or each of us into a spot that says you have to do it this way. And I think that's the difference of being an elected official, is you do have some discretion and you do have to have some discernment. And for me, one thing I want people to know, and they don't see this on the camera and they probably don't know at all, but if we decided, hey, $90,000 is what it is, that person could walk, and guess what? Then it becomes the county's problem in a bunch of different ways. And that's why Lori Scott came running into the meeting. She didn't say that, but I already knew that that's where she was probably going to want to go. And so when we said, hey, it's going to be $1,000, and the reality is we're not going to, as long as I'm in office, we are not going to allow this type of thing to go forward ever again with this amount of length. I mean, you'll see some past supervisors, or I guess I don't read them, I don't necessarily know, but complaining about the process. Well, if they did their job and understood how the process worked, they'd go to county council, they'd go to code enforcement, they'd go to the sheriff and say, get this done. And what we've done now is we've built a team that gets that stuff done. So we're never going to go back. All right, Sarah, I'm sorry, but I had to discuss this because it's one of the things that...
Yeah, but Kevin, for somebody who wasn't watching the meeting, what are you even talking about? Because you're confusing me.
That's right. All right, so we had a hearing this last week about a person that had to, they had a property abatement issue, and there was squatters on their property, there was trash all over it, and there was a long process of them not cleaning it up. And you're right, Sarah, see, this is what's perfect, because in my mind, I've been frustrated about this since last week, because people don't know, and the system screws people constantly. Like, this person can't take a crowbar and get these squatters off his property. You know, and that may sound harsh, but it's not good when somebody buys a piece of property trying to do something better with it, and then people squat on it, and then people trash it, and the owner's hands are tied by state laws and by ordinances or whatever, and they're not even the master of their own property. So this person gets painted into a corner when he buys it, and he probably should have done a better job on the due diligence side of what it was going to take to get people off his property, but all these fines and all these dollars just pile up. And now, you know, he was going to owe over, you know, $90,000, roughly $90,000 in fines on a property he paid $20,000 for. And I'm not okay with the state putting things in order that just screw the taxpayer, the homeowner. You know, does that make sense? Is that better?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Yep. Well, so
well, that's like, remember we had the neighbor and they had renters who stopped paying.
Yeah.
Remember how long it took him in the process?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what was that? A year, maybe?
Especially
that was during COVID, too, so it was extended.
Yeah, well, and people just game the system. And that's the problem, is there's so many things that nefarious people and loopholes can do. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, at the at the county. You know, I mean, we have some phenomenal, phenomenal employees. And then there's some employees, like every organization, that, aren't cutting it. And they get let go by their department head or whoever's making those decisions. And then they want to complain that it's some type of conspiracy. It's like, no, maybe you just didn't do a good job or, you know, whatever. And I don't think we're in a society anymore that values accountability. You're smiling at me. I know that smile.
Well, I want you to take a breath.
Well, I get fired up. I get fired up with when I see, I mean, because we had a lot of probably absentee owners in these abatement hearings. I think we had 13. We're going to have more coming back. We have one actually this coming Tuesday that we punted because we wanted more information. But you get people that own these properties that don't even live around here. Yeah, that's different. But the people that actually showed up, and some people that showed up still didn't really get some of the things they wanted, because again, us as a board have to discern, like, do we think that they're really making those efforts, or what's the backstory with it? And we do the best we can. So I do get fired up, because this is my money. This is your money. This is, you know,
the taxpayers' money, and I take it very seriously. And now that I see, you know, Dan Bongino just made that quote that he said, like, you know, now that he's been at the FBI as the deputy director, like, his life will never be the same. He had no idea. He would see the things, hear the things, and know the things he knows today. And I know exactly what he meant. And it wasn't a positive thing. I really think it's like, you know, we both know a highway patrolman that was highway patrolman for a week, came on two accidents, saw two dead kids in two different accidents, and said, I can't do this. And he just, I can't do this. And as much as you want to prepare yourself for it, it's tough, you know? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that, like, I mean, since I've been in politics and you've been, you know, on the inside, so to speak, how has your view changed?
I think I'm shocked at how just the background things that happen, even just the little things. I don't know. I don't have much to say. Shocked also to see, I'll watch the meetings and then I'll watch the reporting on the meetings. The difference. It's like, wait, did we not watch the same thing? Or just public comment, just things like that, that I had no idea before you got involved. We didn't really pay attention. We obviously read the paper, watch the news, but had no idea the background, some of the same people.
Yeah, well,
that kind of thing.
We canceled the paper when they stopped covering local sports. Yeah. I remember that.
Like, yeah, but you could still look at Reading.com or, you know, you look up.
Absolutely. But remember that? Remember the time we were watching Good Morning America and there was that subliminal blip in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're going to sound crazy when we were watching.
Okay, hold on, stop. Because we talked about this, just so the listeners know. We didn't prep. We're just going to talk. And I said, how about this? She goes, oh, we can't talk about that. How about this? we can't talk about that. Well, so, I said, Sarah, that's the reality, is we are average Joe Blow, Jane Doe people that are raising kids, working, doing the best we can. And we just ask questions. And now that I'm in politics, people actually, you know, want to criticize everything I do or say. And they have, you know, as someone termed it, Kevin derangement syndrome, which is fine. But if we don't discuss it, other people who feel the same way are never going to feel like they have a voice or what they feel is valid. Much like at the track meet when the dude was competing against the girls.
Yeah.
And the one high school kid yelled out, like, that's a boy or something like that. And everyone was screaming at him. And yeah, maybe that wasn't the best way to do it, but I leaned over and told the guy, I said, hey, look, dude, I go, that might not be the best way, but it's wrong. And don't let anybody tell you that it's okay. And of course, you started elbowing me because you didn't want me talking to the high schoolers about this, but it's true. And you could see the other high schoolers are like, yeah, it is wrong, but they're so afraid to speak their mind.
Or to offend.
Or to offend.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And you got a bunch of girls finishing second to a dude doing the high jump and triple jump. It's like, it's wrong. Anyway, okay, so back to the COVID.
So we were watching Good Morning America, right? Yeah, because you were watching
Chelsea Memel.
Chelsea Memel was on there.
Who was making an Olympic comeback.
And so we're watching it, and you said, did you guys just see that? And we're like, what are you talking about? And so, you know, now we can rewind TV, or we could. And it was, what was it, Joe Biden
and Kamala Harris.
And Kamala Harris shaking hands.
No, it was their arms in the air, like, triumphantly.
Yeah.
But it was during the
campaign. But it was like a blip. So it was just the show, the normal show.
We had to freeze frame it.
We had to freeze frame. And it was a quick blip, like a single frame. It showed Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, like, totally unrelated to what the clip was.
Yeah.
And
it was going to commercial break because Chelsea had just wrapped up. They just interviewed her.
Yeah. And so, you know, going back or thinking back or even at the time, like, maybe that was just an error, but you saw it. We didn't see it. We had to rewind it. And like you said, frame by frame.
Yeah.
And there it was. And it kind of, that's like, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
Or was it just an error and you just happened to notice it? Those kind of things.
Yeah. So. But you, Kylie, none of our kids, Cooper, because he was with us, no one noticed it. And we had to do like the 1/10 frame by frame. And it was like a watermark. It was like in between the commercial segment. And then there was a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, wow, that's trippy.
That was crazy.
But we weren't involved. We weren't, you know, when people use the word, and I'm doing air quotes, awake. But when people use that word, it's like, I'm probably far from that still, because there's still things that I just can't wrap my head around, nor do I want to spend the time or energy thinking about it. But if we don't ask those questions, and that's the issue, is there's so many sheep And there's so many people that are, I know, Sarah, don't look. I can say sheep. That's what I almost.
I think that it comes across condescendingly. Like, when you say that, at least your tone, it doesn't sound like you're saying it. These people don't understand, or it comes across that way. So that's why I give you that look. Cause,
yeah.
Well, and I maybe mean, you don't mean it that way, but that's the way it comes across.
You know what? You're right. You're right. And,
maybe it's just people busy. Maybe it's people just doing their job.
No,
maybe, you know.
Yeah. And when I say sheep, I'm talking about the people that, you know, are part of the No Kings protest, and yet they supported a candidate that nobody got to vote for. Like, isn't that the definition of taking away your democratic process of not getting to vote for who you want to represent your party or a party in general? And that's what I'm saying by the sheep is they're just lemmings. They just like would all just drop right off a cliff and they don't, I'm sorry, there I go again. But I just like, it just baffles me because even right now with the alternative custody program and the medical, I'm not going to call it the medical school anymore. I'm just going to say improving medical care in the county because we're going to talk about that after the break because, Sarah's agreed or not agreed. We just discussed if she'd want to talk about her experience. And just for those of you that don't know, when I talked about at the board meeting about somebody that had a heart attack or thought they were having a heart attack, had to go to the ER, it was my wife, and I didn't want to say that because I didn't feel I wanted to involve her. But what I would say is so many people have such a Kevin derangement syndrome attitude that anything I put forward or anything I want to work on or anything I do, it's got to be evil. It's got to be bad. So they get in the way. And what I wind up doing is I wind up spending, you know, 5, 10, 15% of my time having to deal with that garbage instead of 100% of my time dealing on the issues that make our community better. And these are nonpartisan issues, improving health care or an alternative custody program. I mean, there's a reason the sheriff and I have talked more than any other supervisor, him and I. There's a reason he's come to me, and because we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done, and if people would get out of the way, we can get it done faster. Okay, Dave, I think we're getting some calls. So I will say this. If you want to maybe call in and ask a question, I'm going to have you give the question to Dave with your name and the question. But that number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. Call in, give Dave the question, and he'll ask it. We're going to probably take those after the break because I am getting some text messages about that. And Dave, can you please put up the clock to how much time I have left in this segment? All right, sweetheart. So let's go back to, I want to talk more about like, what are some other things that you've kind of discovered about with me being in politics and just how, you know, how people see government or even just any relationship things that maybe you've had with friends that maybe don't politically align with you. I mean, have you lost any friendships, you think, I'm in politics?
No, I haven't. I haven't lost any friends, that's for sure. But I've noticed, though, just in conversations with friends, and this is where we were before, a lot of people just don't know. Like, for example, was that Measure P or Q where it went to the voters?
Q.
I remember before that election talking to my friend. She's like, well, I don't want my supervisors to choose the next supervisor or whatever it was. And I said, this particular friend, I said, you know, that's how it is now, right? They get to choose who's next. This actually puts it towards the voters.
Yeah.
But she just had read the two opposing sides and just kind of thought, she wasn't super informed about the way it is now currently and the way that measure would have changed it.
Yeah.
But she's super educated, you know, she's involved, but she's busy. She has three kids, she has a job, so she doesn't have a ton of time to look into that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was...
So, yeah, I mean, and she's conservative. And when I explained it to her, she's like, what? That, you know, so I don't know if you didn't do a very good job.
Oh, I did a terrible job.
Yeah, but, so that's just one example.
I did a terrible job. Like, the other side was very organized. They had people that supported the argument against, they had, you know, granted it was mostly all on social media because, you know, very few people, really will put their money where their mouth is. But what I did is I just didn't think, I know there's that look again, but that's the truth, Sarah. Like people want to complain and throw stones and do all that stuff. But then when the chips are down, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, you've got some of the crazy recallers, failed recallers on me that still can't let it go. They still come up in public comment and still want to harass me. But that's
just
fine.
Saw a picture. I think it was of the No Kings rally, and there was somebody with that shirt on.
Oh, it's probably because they don't wash their clothes.
No, Kevin, see, there you go. Like, what are you doing?
I know. Well, I know. It just What drives me nuts is the amount of vitriol people have. And this is where, you know, and you know, I'm praying about it. I ask the Lord for forgiveness. I'm doing the best I can. I could always do better, but it just gets irritating that they want to continue to just like tear stuff down and say, dude, like, what is it about your life that has left such things unfulfilled that you have to come here and just sow discord and be negative?
What's the saying? Hurt people hurt people. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that applies here, but it's like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, I made the commitment.
But you don't help yourself. We've talked about that.
I know. Well, I can't let somebody else try and stand on somebody's shoulders and call themselves tall. Most people just walk by and say, yep, that person's tall, or yep, that, and they just let it go. And I can't, from a righteous anger place, it's hard for me to let those types of people just like get by and go. And, you know, and again, at the Board of Supervisors meetings, I did a couple of weeks ago say I'm going to try and be less combative. And I have.
I believe when you say that, you truly mean it. And I think that you are trying. I agree with you. Like, you in the moment, though, I understand, because I'm not constantly confronted with it. I don't know how I would respond, but I agree. Yeah. I agree. When you said that, you truly meant it. And I truly believe you keep making an effort, but you're just constantly attacked on various fronts. So I get that.
Yeah. And it's the thing for me that what gets me is it slows down progress. It slows down the things. I mean, now we're looking at the feds, right? And Trump visits, you know, that whole situation, and now looking like, was our Fed working against us? So Trump, wouldn't have huge successes. We'll see what happens. I mean, again, I can't spend all my time going down all those different, you know, rabbit trails, but I don't doubt it. And, you know, and look at the tariffs. I mean, we're pumping in all kinds of money, and I got to imagine there's definitely people working against this administration where it could have been probably even a lot more, but, you know, at least it's still been a big win. Let's jump into, there's one other thing that I want to say, because you talked about, you know, when something happens, and I forget exactly how you said it, but it did make me think of, you know, what I'm thankful for is when things happen. I'm not always thankful when it happens to my family or friends or people I care about, but when something happens and it makes me kind of like sit up and think, well, that's odd. Why does that stick? Why is that sticking out in my mind as important? And then I start to look at it and think, oh, you know, no wonder this is something I need to look at. And so with this whole medical care, and we've been talking about, everything, I think it sucks that you thought you were having a heart attack when I was in Philadelphia. You called it. It was midnight where I was, a little after midnight, and you went to the ER. So get into the, you know, we have a couple minutes still. So get into the, you know, your experience at the ER. Let's jump into that now.
Okay. Well, so I had been experiencing kind of chest pain things for a while. And so when I got to this point, it was like, okay, it's going on for an hour. I called you. Should I go? Because I knew it was going to be a long wait. I know, you know, of course you don't want to go. It's going to be a big bill. So I went. I probably got there 9-something, and it was packed. I mean, the waiting room was completely crowded, and then they had like an overfill outside. And so I believe you take a number. No, you don't take a number. You check in at the – there's a little mobile desk. You check in there, and then you just go sit down, wait for your name to be called. Long story short, took 5 hours. I kept getting called back for various tests. And when I was finally checking out, I kept waiting to see a doctor or you know, waiting for the appointment.
You did an EKG. You did a bunch of big tests. Yeah.
So it's interesting because you check in and then right away you get called up to the window to give your insurance information, that kind of thing. And then they give you an estimate of your bill.
Don't worry about the time. We're going to go.
Okay. Because I keep looking over there. There's a minute left. They give you
my show.
Yeah.
It's my show.
So it's like they don't really, you know, you tell the guy at the front first part, hey, this is what my issues are. And so I'm sure they can evaluate and determine if it's urgent or not. And so right away, they called me back to the window to do that part. We had recently switched to he's doing the focus thing.
No,
you're
the
one who ends.
No, I'm saying talking to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Quit looking at the clock. You're such a rule follower that you keep looking at the clock. That clock means nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's David just telling me when we can go to break. So
gotcha.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, so we had recently switched to the higher deductible plan and then did HSA because.
Yeah.
Okay. So they tell us an estimate of my bill, or they tell me, and my portion is $800. So 20% is what we pay for our insurance. So you figure a $4,000 bill, and that's their estimate of what tests they're going to be doing. So, you know, I'm thinking $4,000, I'm assuming just to check out if I had a heart attack or not, right?
Or if you're having one.
If I was having
one.
Because
your arm
was
still tingling.
So at this point, I still hadn't, yeah. So then they take me back for an EKG, and then they send you back to the waiting room. Then they took me back for blood work, then back to the waiting room, and then this 3 hours now, I'm assuming, so they can get all that stuff back. Then they take me back for a CT, because one of my blood markers was high.
So here's the thing. This is what I want to get to.
Okay.
You didn't even know you saw a doctor. They have you download an app. They had you download
an
app.
Well, they didn't. Nobody told me this, and I don't know. I think I went on, was trying to do the Wi-Fi, and it took me to the My Dignity or whatever, and then there's a thing saying you could download this app to see the waiting. So I would have no information about what's next, what tests they're doing, unless I had downloaded the app. That helped me to understand what they were doing, what the process was. Otherwise, I'd have no clue. I would have just kept getting my name called back for a test.
And this is the issue that I have. Is you had to wait outside, like there was no chairs.
I didn't have to. I could have sat inside. There was one or two chairs, but yeah, there was chairs outside.
But there was a group of people that were not English speaking. No, I know. Listen, don't tilt your head and say don't, because this is what we have to talk about. If there's people there that need urgent medical care, we need to do that. And I agree with that. I don't care who the person is. From a humane perspective, if they need medical care, treat them. Treat them. But if we could circumvent not having to constantly, as a country, a state, or a county, pay for free medical care for people that aren't contributing to the system possibly, because I did some background of some of this, you know, not from your particular night, but talking to other people who work in the ER at both Shasta Regional and Mercy, and they said, oh, yeah, it's like a walk-in clinic, and there's people that are 100%, you know, here illegally that have come recently, and they treat it like they need Sudafed or something like that, and that's a quote. And what I'm saying in this whole process is your medical experience was not good. And it wasn't the fault of the care providers. It wasn't the fault of the doctors, but it's an overrun system.
It's a system. Correct. That's how I feel. I feel like the system is broken.
The system's broken.
It's broken from, you know, right away having to pay that copay. It's broken from, just the process. How many people were there? You know, but the thing I would say in the defense of the people who went there, maybe not needing emergency, is there was no urgent care open at that time. So
yeah, no,
it was after hours. So I wish there was, like, even myself, I would rather have gone to an urgent care where they could maybe do an EKG blood work and say, you're good.
What you had going on, though, were the signs of a heart attack. And we won't go into actually what it medically was, and you're wearing a heart monitor now. So, but it's like, it's real, and people need to take that stuff seriously. And I wouldn't want people to say, I'm not going because it's going to be a long wait, or I'm not going to get anything. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Again, if you want to call in with a question. You can text me if you want. I've got a couple questions already here lined up for after the break. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. With that, we'll take a short break and be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventures. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free spot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
All right, Shasta County, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. That is my normal lead-in, and I thought I would just come back out of the break with it because I love that song. I think it encompasses some of those lyrics about really just how I feel. And I don't want to say leave me alone, but I've got my opinions, and my wife is here with me to tell me usually why I'm wrong. No, I'm just kidding. No, but in all seriousness, Sarah, I have a, you know, because even during the break, you know, and I'm going to give people the inside to this. She's like, why do you got to bring up that? I said, because it all matters. It all matters about your experience and how we're doing things, especially as a state, that are not sustainable. And, you know, kind of like we talked about on the way here about in Southern California, how they're trying to do it where the government can buy all that burnt out land. And that was the conspiracy, you know, from the very, very beginning that they were going to burn all those.
No, that it was a land grab.
That it was a land grab. So they could put.
That it was either intentional. This was the conspiracy theory. It was either intentional or they were going to use this to take the land to try to build
low income housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, and then you said, well, let's not talk about that. But that's the thing is like if we don't, or I think that's why, you know, I won't say that. Well, it doesn't matter. Like Ken and Christy, you know, who have become like dear friends. We don't do a lot socially with them, but we definitely go to the Philippine Day celebration at, Christmas or, the Valentine's Day party. But, you know, and he's even said he's probably the farthest left supporter I have, but it's really about just common sense. It's about supporting the working guy. And, having conversations that says we all have those questions, you know, and we're not conspiracy. We're just like saying, hey, like this came up and now it's happening. Does anybody notice? So let me ask you, how is it that you, cause you're extremely intelligent, and how are you able to stay quiet and not, you know, and you get frustrated, but you don't say anything. So
I think
what's your process?
So, My process is I don't say a lot, but I think that's just more of my personality. I don't want to offend people. I don't want to. And then also what makes it more challenging too is online. So people will bash you like quickly. If I were to just say, raise a question.
And when you say you just mean people in general.
Just people in general. Yeah. I don't mean me. No, I'm not making myself more important than I am, but, it just happens. Like, if you ask, what are all those streaks in the sky? Immediately, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're blah, 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 but look up. I mean, it's not normal. It will start beautiful blue sky and then you see the streaks and then it turns into all gray. What is that? I don't remember that growing up. Is it really more planes? And now look at, that doesn't seem, I don't know. So
we don't even talk about that issue.
We don't really talk about that, but I'm just saying, like, you ask these questions. Why was that? Why did that thing pop up all of a sudden when we were watching Good Morning America? Was that a mistake? You know, but you don't want to say that because you don't want to come across as crazy, or you don't want to be attacked. And so you just kind of keep your mouth shut and you don't want to be offensive. Like during COVID with the mask thing, I didn't believe the mask worked, but it was like, I don't want to be rude. You know, I don't want to, but it's funny because I want someone to say something. I just sometimes would rather it not be you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're an extension of me. And so I don't like to offend people. And I know when you say
things. I don't like to offend people.
I know,
people.
But what I'm saying is it doesn't make sense. I'm admitting it doesn't make sense that I feel this way. But,
do I? Absolutely. And sometimes just things need to be said. And that's why I like my radio show, is because I get to use this show more as whatever I want to talk about. And then I try and be, at the Board of Supervisors as long as, you know, as I've been chair 2 years or last year and this year, it's like, you know, that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, before it was the meetings run too long. Now, they're going too short. So we should have less meetings. It's like, you know, some of these detractors or these people just have, they probably don't have the ability to run a popsicle stand.
That's been my process too. As far, I used to say, I don't want to offend anybody, blah, blah, blah. But then in terms of you, like at first when I would see comments online or whatever, I'd be so upset. I can't believe they're saying that. But then if you watch long term, I agree. It's everything you do. They find criticism, or they'll take a little piece and expand it and make that the truth when it's like, no, that's not really what happened.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely.
Well, we saw that during COVID too. Like we would watch a press conference of President Trump.
Yeah.
And then we would.
We would watch the news reports of it, and it's totally different.
Totally not what he said.
What he said. So, I think definitely the last 5 years, I've become a little more immune, a little more thick-skinned about saying my opinion. Like, for example, we talked about this the other day about the transgender thing. Like, I remember it not even being an issue. And then it seems like during COVID, it was just all of a sudden, this is reality. Like, everyone has to get on board. And I told you, I don't remember ever having this conversation, this debate, this.
Yeah.
And if you said, wait a minute, you know, women are women, men are men, whatever, you were the crazy one. And it just felt like bizarro world, like I was in the Twilight Zone. But again, you didn't want to offend people or be rude, but right. So I think there's a lot of people like me too who feel that way, who feel like this doesn't make sense, but they don't want to be rude or they don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, people have to have.
Well, and I think people are more likely now to start because it's starting to affect us individually.
Yeah,
you know, it's starting like.
Yeah,
I hear the phone ringing.
Oh, the phone's been ringing. Dave's taking notes, or he's texting me different questions. But I like this conversation. I think that one of the important things that is, you know, the more people get involved and understand, you know, what's going on, it really, the more I've found people want someone to say something, even if it's to a degree not our jurisdiction. They want people to wake up and understand what's going on. I mean, in the next couple months, you're going to see a lot of stuff come out. I mean, the city of Reading is putting forth that tax, that 1% tax. You're going to see a lot of conversation about that. And I'm interested to see, you know, what the community says, because ultimately I love when things go to a vote, because quite honestly, if somebody, you know, we all get a chance to vote, and whatever the outcome is, it's like one side's going to do a better job than the other with messaging.
I think that's what I've learned also through politics, is it's about messaging. Just talking to my friends who are not part of, you know, this everyday politics.
Yeah.
It's, you got to get the message out. Like I said, with my friend with that measure, she had no idea.
Yeah.
And so sometimes especially like you said, the city of Reading thing, it's,
yeah.
Who's going to get the message out kind of thing, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the, but you know.
Or like, what's the one we passed a long time in California that totally changed our law enforcement, what we can.
Oh, AB 109?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean the messaging.
Prop 47. Yeah. I
mean, yes.
It was like the safe schools thing. So everybody,
yeah.
I mean, it was, but I got to admit, like I think back, I don't even remember what I voted.
I don't either.
But
I remember my sister-in-law saying, do you realize what people voted for?
Tanya, yeah.
Yep.
Tanya said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know, your brother, both brothers at one time were in law enforcement. But Jesse, who just won the Medal of Valor for the state, for the Highway Patrol, for heroic acts. I mean, yeah, I remember when she said that and I was like, I wasn't even paying attention. Like, not at all. Like,
no.
Years ago, that wasn't even a thing to me to have that on my radar. So let me ask you this. So like when you, because again, for you and for other listeners who are like, you're Norwegian, so you're very.
I feel like you've got to clarify what you mean by that.
Well, you're Norwegian.
I'm just stoic. I'm more stoic.
Well,
you're
first generation born.
I am not born. My dad is.
No. Your dad was born
in
Norway.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
On your dad's side of the family, you were the first.
But I feel like most people don't have the context. When you say I'm Norwegian, what does that mean?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
What are you trying to infer? You're trying to say I'm more stoic, right?
Yes.
I'm a little more reserved.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. And I think the most important thing is like you're very, I don't want to say you're not like a passive. I mean, you're not super passive, but you're very non-confrontational.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate confrontation.
But even on our board meetings and stuff, even the discussions with supervisors, it's like I don't see myself as combative or bullying. I have very strong opinions. And a lot of our, and if you even notice, a lot of our votes where we start completely where it's going to be a 4-1, 3-2, whoever that is, and a lot of them end up 5-0. And I'm not saying it's because I'm pushing that, but it's like I think if you make arguments about what things are important, I have a lot of passion. I mean, if you're going to do things in your life without passion, you need to do something else. Like if you're not passionate about it, quit punching your clock. That's me. Like, do you disagree?
I disagree. I feel like I think that's ideal, but I don't think everyone has that. Those opportunities, that situation, like, I don't know. I don't agree with that. But I could see how somebody, because even sometimes your tone of voice, maybe you're passionate, but it could sound combative. But I also agree someone like me who's non-confrontational and someone like you challenging could come across as combative.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't approach it that way. So, and I think sometimes we see the world.
So we have a lot of questions stacking up. So here's the first question. Terry's asking, how do you deal, with the fact that I get blamed for everything, including if a sprinkler is broken in District 1? So
at first I was just, I couldn't handle it, to be honest. And now I laugh. I mean, I don't, you don't have that much control over everything. It's just funny.
Yeah. No.
Giving Kevin too much credit for the control they think he has. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what we've done is we've built, and the longer I've done this, and, if I decide to do it longer, the voters keep me in around longer, I'm becoming more and more detached because the whole purpose is to have the CEO and the county council and all the department heads like really rowing in the direction the board wants to go. And that's really what it should be. Like I talk to department heads far less. Like I had one just recently say, hey, why haven't you reached out, about, this or that? I said, well, because I trust you. I read the staff report, but also, I know that Dave's on it and I know that, Council Larmer has looked at it. So I feel good about it. And they're like, okay, that's great. And what I think happens though, or what has happened or still does is sometimes those staff reports are just, they're just passing stuff through because nobody's paying attention. And that's one thing I'll say is, this board pays attention.
Well, and that's what I would say too about somebody blaming you for the sprinkler or whatever. It's, I know you go through the process. So I know you do your research. I know you make the best vote or decision with the information you have and, your opinion, and maybe you're wrong, maybe you're right. I'm not, but you're not doing anything nefariously or so. Maybe it is your fault that the sprinkler is broken, but it's like, he's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
He's really trying to do a good job.
Yeah.
And, that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Nick, he wants to, I will say, Nick Gardner and Doug Janke next week on Poke the Hornet's Nest. They're going to have, the individual. I don't know if it's a gentleman or a female. I mean, I have spoken to the person, but I know that they use voice manipulation software. So I will just say the person that is behind Shasta Anon, who, does some of those videos, Nick is actually going to have that person on. I'm probably guessing they're going to pre-record that because the individual won't be in studio, but, Nick is asking me to tell everybody, if you have questions, please get a hold of Nick and let him know. You know, and speaking of Nick, that's one of the things. I mean, he did speak this last meeting, and we had an individual come down the middle of the aisle wanting to fight him because of it. But he actually won't even speak in every public comment anymore because he says, hey, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I feel represented. And that's a great compliment to me, like when people say, hey, I'm here, but I don't really need to speak because I'm here to be supportive. And that's good. So anyway, so Nick, I plugged
I do appreciate him because I do watch meetings sometimes and you'll see a couple comments and then see someone like him kind of push back a little bit about the comments. I appreciate that. So thank you, Nick.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, and I've told people like, hey man, like don't, or woman, don't feel like you have to, you know, be there to defend me or, you know, and the other supervisors can speak to those people themselves. But I said, like, I'm here. I've signed up for it. It is what it is. And they said, no, I feel like it's my duty. I've got to be there because what you guys are doing is exactly what this community needs. And the people.
Can I just say?
Absolutely.
That's where I think during COVID where a lot of us got upset because we thought we had elected people to stand up for us or, you know, kind of be our representatives and they weren't. And that's where people were going to board meetings like, hey, this is Shasta County. We're conservative. Why are we going along?
Yeah. Remember when we couldn't take our kids to Waterworks?
Yeah. So that's where I think people were getting frustrated because usually you elect somebody to represent you and you hope that they will vote similar or, you know, how you would want them to vote.
Yeah.
And we felt like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, so. Yeah. I mean, I always say that the greatest political activist in our time is former Supervisor Rickert. I mean, she closed the boardroom. She closed it as chair. So thank you, Supervisor Rickert, for encouraging tens of thousands of Shasta County people to now be involved in politics and care because that building at 1450 Court Street is the people's house, always will be the people's house, and it's never going back to the elite's house. And what I mean by that is politicians will come and go, boards will change, ideologies will change, but now there's people watching and there's people understanding what happens and accountability.
What happens when you don't pay attention, right?
Oh yeah.
When you're not involved.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you think about like if you have a small drip, you know, in your house somewhere and you just let it go. Well, that small drip is nothing. You could even let it go if it's in your attic, you know, you could let it go for a couple days, a week or whatever, but if you let it go for a year, that small drip now has spread mold and eventually that whole ceiling tile or that whole ceiling drywall area of your, you know, ceiling is going to come crashing down. And it was just a small drip, and that's what happens so often, and it permeates all different walks of life. Even in my own company, I will say, since I've, you know, been in politics, there's things that I haven't looked at as closely. So now you just got to go back to the drawing board, and you got to make sure you got the people in place to uphold the standard, uphold what it's got to be. Do you have? Let me ask you. We have like 7 minutes left, and we had another question here. Siskiyou Steve had asked about, he said, as a veteran, we know about war and it's not gray and it's black and white. It's not gray. We need to stand up and speak the truth. So that was from Steve. So, you know, I agree. There's things that really are really black and white. There's right or wrong and it's going to offend some people. But, you know, I just think that's what it is. I mean, we were at Costco yesterday. I mean, how have you noticed in the last, because we've talked about it, like in the last 5 or 10 years, how is Costco different? I won't put words in your mouth. Like, how have you noticed Costco's different?
Well,
people bang into your thing. They don't say sorry.
Yeah,
it's not as polite.
It's quite the same feeling it used to have, but it's also grown, right?
Yeah.
It's a different location, so, yeah.
But, there's your. I love your smile. But that's the smile that says, please, please, please don't put me on the spot. So, but the difference is, you know, what happens is too many people stay quiet and they just, it's like, okay, as an example, we go to a restaurant, my food isn't right. Sometimes, depending on what it is, I almost only eat meat anymore. So it's either overcooked. I still eat it. But if you ordered a Caesar, like a Southwest chicken salad grilled and they bring out a steak salad and it's rare, with goat cheese, you know, you're going to eat it.
Oh,
because you feel
I won't say anything, but now I would have you say something. So that's kind of where we are now.
You're such a mob wife.
Yeah, I am. Kevin calls me a mob wife, and just to explain that is I want things done, but I don't want to do it, so I have Kevin do it.
Yeah. So it's there was a TV show.
That's why we work out well together, though. That's
there's a TV show where, you know, they made this reference that, you know, she wants to wear the mink that falls off the back of the truck but doesn't want to know where it came from. And it's like,
yeah, and that's not me, but.
No, well, no, but the whole point is it's like, you know, you want certain things. Yes. And it's funny because you'll kind of like prod me and push me almost sometimes physically, like, hey, you need to go say something.
Yeah.
And but that's what's great, though. Right, is our daughters.
And can I just say, just for those of you who think Kevin's the crazy one about talking about geoengineering, it was me. I'm the one who keeps bringing it up, right? The geoengineering and who was the guy that you, what was it?
Dan Wigginton?
Yes, you're the, I mean, it was me that said, hey, you need to bring him. So I'm the crazy one. There you go.
Well, now you just put yourself out
I know
there.
I did. It's
well,
fine.
But here's the difference, right? And this is where a lot of this went, where a lot of this started, was you're a PE teacher and a fantastic one at that. And you're out there at Shasta High School, you're at CV, then you're at Shasta, now you're at Foothill. And the, you know, you'll say, man, look at these skies, and you'll send me just a text. And this was back a while ago, and it's like, you know, we counted, I don't know, like 40 something stripes one time, and it was like a checkerboard. And you're like, that's crazy. And your dad used to be like heavy into that, and we always thought he was crazy.
I didn't think it was crazy. It was actually more like what,
There has to be an explanation.
No, that's not what it was more. Even if it is true, I can't do anything. How does it affect me? You know, it's kind of like it's just not something I'm really willing to look into. And then, like you said, I just can't look away now. Sometimes the sky will be so pretty.
Well, Lynn from Alaska, he doesn't like to come to California partially because of it. He lives in Alaska.
Yeah.
You know, and when you start hearing people say that and they say, oh, and people that are like wicked smart, you know, and then three types of childhood cancer, and that's what started me down it when you had mentioned it a couple times over the past 2 or 3 years. And then when there was a super, super rare form of cancer that 3 kids in Shasta County had. That's what started me down. It's like, what is it? We got to.
Yeah, something.
Can we rule out anything?
Well, it's interesting, and this could be totally unrelated. When my dad had glioblastoma, the doctor here was talking about how many cases we have here in Shasta County. And, again, maybe not related, but, yeah, you want to look into what's causing all of
this. Yeah, exactly. And the people that think, and this is to say, well, it's not our jurisdiction, or we can't. It's like, well, you know what? That's perfect, and those are the same people that got on, you know, I won't even say it. I caught myself. I was gonna say something.
I didn't even have to give him the look either.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, yeah, keep living your life that way, you know, and those are the people that, you know, sorry.
Okay.
I digress on that. I can't believe you actually said that you were the person that actually brought that up originally.
I know.
Because now you're going to be the crazy person.
It's
but,
fine.
But I think the reality is we just want some questions answered. We just want to know, like, who's doing what? Why are they doing it? And why does it have to?
And
be
if it's just normal contrails, okay, fine. But I don't remember it
sticking
around like that. Yeah. Like whatever.
So well, I mean, even just like the stuff with Epstein, right? Like we all know at some point in the next year or two, there's going to be some type of revelation. There's going to be some type of documents handed over. There's going to be something declassified. There's obviously a lot more, there's a lot more happening than we know. And they're obviously just moving their chess pieces to make sure the people that are accountable don't get skated out. Okay, so I had something here from Ken and Christy. It says, as we go out and about, we're seeing more and more people feeling bold to wear Christian shirts and Trump gear. With the change of administration, people are more bold. So thank you, Ken. Yeah, I mean, and I agree. I think what that does on a federal level is, and the way Trump won, I mean, Kamala Harris got slaughtered. And that just means, okay, this crazy ideology that we were going with for 4 years, that's not what the general public believes or thinks is right.
Yeah. We've also talked about how we are almost living in two separate realities, like, because we both discussed how could people vote for her? And there's people on the other side who, how could you vote for him? But we totally get our information from different places now. So we almost have two different realities, right? Like if you watch the regular news, you remember this during COVID, we went somewhere and we watched it. It was like, death, this many died, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no wonder people are terrified.
Oh, yeah. Well,
watching this all the time.
I just had someone message me about all the people that all the children that died during COVID, and I'm like, what in the world are they talking about?
But they really believe that. Yeah,
and it's just like, yeah, you don't know where to go with that. So we got 40 seconds left. You can always go to votekevincry.com to see or listen to the archived radio shows if you missed part of this one or any one in the past. I will be doing my video tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. whether it's probably going to be live, and I'm going to hit on some of the things about the meeting for this week. Sarah, thank you for coming in again. I don't know if I'll get you to come back. But
thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's great. And then I know we're going to go to Home Depot, and I'm going to do my one project a year, which should
big
take
day.
Me,
yeah,
big day. So with that, Shasta County, I love you. I know my wife loves you, and we're just very thankful for all of you who listen in. So have a great week, and talk to you soon.
Overtime hours for both.
Town Hall is brought to you by KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.